Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare, from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, and you will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honour him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. It's a great psalm, isn't it? It's a great psalm of reminding us of who God is and what God's like, and his protection over us. It's got some great pictures in here. And the theme of the psalm, it kind of starts out in those very first verses. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells in the shelter. That shelter is in the Hebrew, it's like a hiding place. A cover. Like somewhere where you can go and hide secretly or covertly. In King James Version, it says the secret place. He who dwells in the secret place of God. If you can come into his presence and live with God and let God live with you, then it says this. It says you will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And what does that conjure up? What picture does that conjure up for you? Resting in the shadow of the Almighty. What does it say to you?
Big shadow.
Big shadow. Yeah.
3 years of college, isn't it? Wasted.
Yes, a great big shadow. A big shadow of God.
Comfort.
Comfort, yeah. Means you're close to him, doesn't it? Because if you're in God's shadow, it means if you're in someone's shadow, you're close.
You're being protected by him.
Protected, yeah. Good picture. So like you picture like a big mountain and your little tent. And then when the wind comes, you're in the shadow of that, but the wind comes and it won't get your little tent because you're in the shadow of the Almighty. So it's a lovely picture, isn't it? Go away and dwell on it and chew on it and meditate on it. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. You know, God, and this is the theme that comes out throughout this psalm. It's almost split into two distinct bits, these first verses. Down to verse 8, it talks about this and all the things that God will save us from or deliver us from. And then again in verse 9, and we'll go through this, it echoes that again. If you make the Most High your dwelling, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. And we'll try and explore that a little bit and see what that means. But again, one of the songs that we're going to sing after the sermon is "You Are My Hiding Place," echoes the same words in Psalm 32, verse 7. You are my hiding place. You will protect me when trouble surrounds me with songs of deliverance. And we'll sing that later. And it's just a fantastic picture of what God is like for us. As we draw near to him, God will afford us this protection. And it goes on, it talks a lot about this. You know, it talks about, you know, he is my refuge and my fortress. You know, that the word for refuge there, it means kind of a hope, a shelter and a trust. You know, a place of refuge where you can go to. He is my refuge and my fortress. And there are some fantastic pictures, aren't there, in here, of what God is like. So it talks about in verse 4, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. What a great picture that is, isn't it? It's a picture of a mother hen gathering up her chicks for protection underneath her. There was I've seen a story and I looked it up on the internet, and unfortunately it's not true. But there was this story that was going around, was about a bird that had protected in Yellowstone Park, that had protected her young, and that when the fires came, it had like ravaged this bird. But underneath were the little chicks that were still alive, even though this bird had died. But it's one of these internet rumours. But it's a really good example of what God could be like, and what God is like. So even though that's a rumour, that this is God is true and faithful. That's what we've been singing about. It's what we've been singing about, God's protection for us as we've gone through. And as I kind of looked at, I wanted to find a nice story about birds protecting. I did find one really nice one. It wasn't quite what I wanted, but I'll share it anyway, because it was some fantastic pictures of a thrush's nest, and it was built on the side of some eaves in the house, on a house, and alongside it was the gutter. And when the gutter when it rained, all the water, it was the nest was actually protected, but when it rained, all the water flowed into the gutter and was threatening to like wipe the nest away. And the mother bird, and there's pictures of this, you can look at, I nearly brought it with me, but there's pictures of this, and the mother bird actually puffed up her wings and sat in the gutter when it rained to protect the nest from being washed away and let the father do all the work of feeding. But what a fantastic story, isn't it? And that is a true one, there's real pictures. So, you know, it's about that heart for protection for the young chicks, and using her wings to do that. And then every now and again, she'd have to get up and dry off and then go back again. And I just thought, well, that, you know, again, that is a picture of like God for us. He will stand in the way for us of torrents of water that come and seek to sweep us off. So that's the one picture for you to take away and think about, that protection, that lovely under the shadow of his wings we sang, didn't we? And the second one here, the second picture is really more of a battle. You know, it talks about his faithfulness in verse 4 again will be our shield and our rampart. So if you think about a shield is something you take with you, isn't it, to protect you. So when the arrows come, or when someone comes with a sword, you've got that shield to protect you. And that's like a mobile thing. Whereas like a rampart is like a walled city, like the walls of a city, the ramparts of the fortress he talks about here. Whoever wrote this, the psalmist, here's my refuge and my fortress. And that's like that big wall that God of protection that God can put around us, that we can go and seek refuge in him. And he surrounds us with that. So there's, again, fantastic pictures of God's protection through his faithfulness for us. And in these verses, surely it comes that like almost everything is covered when you start reading through these. You know, you could almost say it's like a comprehensive insurance policy, if you like, because he starts here, he says, look, surely God will save you from the fowler's snare. And then he goes on, you'll not fear the terror of the night, the arrows that fly by day, the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys. And even if thousands are falling beside you, no, God is going to be with you in this thing, he says. So it's like examples. Now, we might not exactly have those things, but there'll be other things like that. And God is saying that the main thing that God is saying here is that to tell us that, you know, God's people have nothing to fear as all these things come and sweep over us. You know, there are no exclusions in this insurance policy. You know, when you've got an insurance policy and something happens and you get it out and you look in it and it says, da da da, except for da 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 da, and it's a long list of things. And normally what you try to get covered isn't covered for one of those reasons. But God's not like that. God's insurance policy is, you know, there's nothing hidden in the small print. God is for you. You know, that's what Paul says, isn't it? If God is for us, who can be against us? And we'll have a little look into those verses from Romans in chapter 8 as well as we go through this. So I just think this is a fantastic psalm to dwell on, you know, to come back to at different moments in our lives when we're facing difficulty. And it's a psalm, I think, I'm not sure who's sort of been following through the psalm series, but I think you've done Psalm 90. But it's in the section of psalms which kind of reflects some of the echoes of Exodus and the move of the Israelites out of Egypt. And if you look really carefully in this, you can see that kind of echo of that. So, for example, if we just work through it again, this is just a little aside, but I find it really interesting. So, I've called this the echo of Exodus. So, verse 3, it talks about, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare. And that could be pictured as Pharaoh, and sort of keeping the Israelites ensnared in captivity. And the word there that's translated pestilence, it can be, one of the other translations I found out when I was reading about this, could be word. It's the very same, very similar word. So some people have translated it as word. So it could be ensnared by like Pharaoh's word. So kept in slavery. And then as you go down and you start to see these things, you can imagine the plagues, you know, the plagues that got sent upon the Egyptians because Pharaoh kept changing his mind and said, you know, I will not let your people go. So, you know, but the Israelites themselves were protected from those series of plagues that attacked the Egyptians. So here, when it talks about, you know, you will not fear the terror of the night. You know, you imagine it when the angel of death came in the night, and there's other examples. So arrows that fly by day, stalks, or the plague that destroys at midday. So, you know, there's a kind of echo or reference to all those different plagues of boils and all that sort of stuff that went on. But the Israelites themselves were protected. They held no terrors for God's people because they were living under the shadow of God's wing. And it goes on, you know, in verse 7, it talks about 1,000, even 1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It will not come near you. And that was their experience, wasn't it? The Israelites, they saw everything happening to the Egyptians, but nothing was happening to the people of Israel because they were God's people under his protection. And again, verse 8, you will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment. And that's what they saw, wasn't it? They lived through that, and that's what they saw. So there's a kind of echo of Exodus and the release of the captives from Exodus, and all this kind of fulfilled all those things that we've been through. And eventually, Pharaoh had to let the Israelites go, and God was with them, and we know all the story about that. But it fulfilled what the Lord had said to Moses back in Exodus 6. And verses 6-8. I'm just going to turn to that and read that to you, because I think I find that quite helpful. So if you want to have a look, it's in you don't have to turn to it, but it's in Exodus 6 and verses 6-8. He says this. This is God speaking. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves with them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, from whom who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac and Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. So here he's telling them, isn't it? This is what I'm going to do for you. I will redeem you. I will take you as my own people. I will be your God. I will bring you to the land. I will give it to you as a land of possession. And if you look at the very end of this psalm that we're in, Psalm 91, there's a kind of echo in that. You know, it says this: I will rescue him. I will protect him. He will call upon me and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. It's kind of echo of God's promises. But that's true for that generation of God's people. And it's true for our generation of God's people, because God is timeless. And that's what's most exciting about delving into the Psalms and the stories of the Bible, because we see God's character in it, don't we? And we start to understand and apply it to our own lives and not just to the historical perspectives. So that's a kind of just a glimpse into some of that. And as we go through it, again, we can see God's what God's trying to teach us through this is about his love and how he's going to work through circumstance for us. And there's a bit in here which the devil quoted to Jesus when he was in the wilderness. So you might have come across some of this before. You might recognise this if you're not familiar with the psalm. But it says in verse 11, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus is in the wilderness, the devil quotes this psalm at him when he's trying to tempt him. So it says this in chapter 4 and verse 5. "Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And he said, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.' But Jesus answered him, 'It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Do not put your Lord, your God, to the test. The devil was trying to say to him that, you know, you can go and show off and the angels will come and rescue you. And Jesus is saying, no, that's not what this promise is about. This promise is about God being with you in circumstances, when you're kind of serving God and living life, not when you're trying to show off and demonstrate things like that. It was kind of twisted. One of the commentaries that I was reading said this, it put it this way: the devil's suggestion was of an artificially made crisis, not of trusting God in situations which result from obedient service. In other ways, trying to twist the words of Scripture to make something that wasn't there. But God will protect us and he will have angels. It's getting quite dark here. Can someone turn the light on? I can't read what I'm... Bible bit here. Thank you. So God will protect us. And it talks about his angels coming and supporting and being with us. But there is a bit in here that I was going through that kind of needs a little bit of looking at and chewing over and working through. And again, something you need to go away and think about, because it says, doesn't it, in verse 10, if you make the Most High your dwelling, verse 9, verse 10, then no harm will befall you and no disaster will come near your tent. And I think if we were honest and we look around and we say, well, actually, sometimes harm does come to us. What's that all about? How can God be promising this? You know, if we lived our life without any problem or harm or difficulty, is that what this is saying? Let's just try and work through. What is this saying? No harm will come to you. And I want to, I said I was going to kind of go to Romans chapter 8, because Paul says something which seems to be a little bit opposed to this. You know, no harm will come to you. So it could be interpreted that nothing bad will happen. But actually, in Romans chapter 8, a very famous verses, we'll start with verse 35. Paul says this in chapter 8, verse 35 of Romans. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? In other words, he says, look, these things are going to happen, but who can separate us from these things? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think what he's saying here is that actually we are going to go through some of these things. You know, it's almost an assumption that Paul's got trouble or hardship or persecution. Will that separate us from God's love? No. No, it won't, because in all these things, we are more than conquerors. In other words, God will turn these things round in our life for something that's good. And the kind of an echo back to verse 28 here. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So it's not that we're going to be saved from these difficulties, but we're going to be saved in these difficulties, if you like. And I think we need to just go back then and reflect on what this means then. No harm will come before you. And again, actually, in the end, towards the end of the psalm, verse 15, it says, God says here, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honour him. I think one of the other things that was helpful to me as I was trying to sort of chew on this and weigh it up was something that Spurgeon said in relation to this. And Spurgeon says this: it is impossible that any ill should happen to the man who is beloved of the Lord. That's what this says. No harm will befall you. It's impossible that any ill should happen to the man who is beloved of the Lord. Ill to him, in other words, someone who's loved of the Lord, is no ill, but only good in a mysterious form. Losses enrich him. Losses enrich him. Sickness is his medicine. Reproach is his honour. Death is his gain. No evil in the strict sense can happen to him, for everything is overruled for good. And that verse, for all things work for good, for those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. Just to illustrate just how this might be, just as a little example, I heard the other day, it was on the radio, of a man driving down the M6 toll road. Did you hear about this guy? The guy driving the wrong way down the M6 toll road. Yeah, some people have heard it. It was just a few weeks ago. So he was an old man, and he was a little bit dementing, and he was driving the wrong way down the M6 toll road. And what had to happen was the police had to come and deliberately crash his car to protect him and others. Right? So it's sometimes, so I guess if you were that man driving down that road, you would wonder what on earth the police were doing, crashing into your car. Right? But actually, he didn't see the whole picture. He didn't, did he? He didn't see the whole picture. Because he was dangerous, and he was a real danger to himself and to others. And sometimes I think that, you know, this is for us. So, you know, what might seem like a difficult circumstance or a harm, actually God allows to work for good. I don't think God causes harm, but he allows that harm to work for good. So that for me, just like that, just kind of helped me sort of picture and understand this. And as we go down, at times running out, but as we go down, so just go away and dwell on that. Go away and dwell on that. Just chew on it, meditate on it. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And these last verses are fantastic verses. And they apply, although they're in the masculine in my Bible, it's talking about him, saving him. It applies to, it's a generic him. It applies to ladies, men and ladies as well. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. These are promises that we can take away and underline in our Bible and pray back to God. You've said this, Lord, in your word. You will rescue me. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer. So when we call out to the Lord, when we feel desperate, when we don't know where to turn, when we don't understand what's happening, in difficulties with, you know, like my parents and Sue's folk and stuff, you know, we can call out to the Lord and know that he will answer. He will be with us in times of trouble, it says here. Underline it. God will be with you in times of trouble. I will deliver him and honour him. God is with you in all sorts of circumstances. And sometimes, just like the police that crashed into that car, we won't understand why that is happening. But God has a purpose behind it. And I really liked Alex's, this morning he talked about our life as being like 6 seconds worth in eternity. When you see it from that perspective, it changes everything, doesn't it? But in those 6 seconds, we can dwell in the shelter of the Most High, and we can rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Let's just pray together as we close.